and look at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4. Good to be in the house of God. Again, I appreciate your kindness today while I led the singing. Matthew chapter 4. As we look in the Word of God today in Matthew chapter 4, if you'll look down at verse 23. When you do a word study in the Scriptures, it's always something that's very profitable that'll help you out and help you see what the Bible says about a certain word, which sometimes will be a certain topic, a certain way of looking at something. But you'll always have the truth about what God says about something. And one of the most important things you'll ever hear in your life is the gospel. That's the most important things you'll ever hear. God gave you ears. He gave you understanding just so you could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says this, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Now, you'll notice the word gospel there in that verse. That's the first occurrence of the word gospel in the whole Bible. When he says, and if you look around that word, you see what's associated with it. He's teaching in their synagogues, and he's preaching the gospel. You'll notice that he preaches the gospel, and it's preaching, teaching, healing, and it says all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, you'll notice when Jesus comes in, he teaches some, he preaches to others, and he heals all. Now think about that. I see a lot of times these so-called faith healers, they'll make a big to-do about healing somebody. Let me tell you something. I learned years ago that if somebody can't do something, they can't do it. If they got to put on a show to do it, they really can't do that thing. That it's fixed. And I watched these people do this stuff in the past, and I've seen them allegedly heal people that was brought up on stage. Here's the problem. If God gave you a gift of healing, and God allowed your hands to have a healing touch, why not simply go down to the emergency room and the intensive care ward? And Greenville's got a children's hospital. I know there's pediatric wings in these places. There's a cancer center over there in Spartanburg. There's plenty of places where God could use your healing hand. Unless you're as fake as a $3 bill or a Clinton, take your pick. Amen, friend. You might as well shout, they'll get me for it, not you, so don't worry about it. But as we look and we focus in on Matthew 4:23 about him preaching the gospel, I want to say this about Jesus. He didn't share the gospel. He didn't impact with the gospel. He didn't go around and share the love of Christ. He preached the gospel. And as we look at the message today, I want to look at the message of the gospel today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you and we thank you, Lord God, for looking down upon us, Lord God, and sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that he may seek and save that which is lost. And Lord, I thank you for all the folks that's come to you that was lost, and they come to you undone and realize they need a Savior. And Lord, they heard the gospel message and they responded to that gospel message. And today, Heavenly Father, while we're here, I pray, God, you'd help me, God, to preach the gospel. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help me preach the word and be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I pray, God, today for everybody listening today, Lord God, Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And Father, we ask right now, God, that you just touch us and that you just help us today. And Lord, that you do a great work for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look today, that word gospel, if you were to look it up and do a word study on the word itself, it comes from a Latin word, which is the Latin word was evangelium. And that literally means the good news. The good news. When Paul brought this message, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how he died for sinners, when those folks heard about that thing, when he come to Rome, they said, that is the evangelium. That is the good news that we needed to hear, that God, who is a just God, a holy God, a righteous God, has decided to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, where He died in our place for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins, and He's able to bring that good news to everyone around the world. I'm glad, thank God, there was a day the good news came to Rome, and I'm glad that good news got into Europe. And I'm glad they took it on a boat and brought it to America, and that we've been able to take that good news and take it back across the world and use the resources that God has given every Christian and every church to take that gospel message, the message how Christ has died for sinners and how He's coming again, and how He gave His life a ransom for us, and how His blood has paid our sin debt. I'm glad, thank God, there's a message that went out like that. I'm glad to be a part of something like that. Amen. The good news. If you look over Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. This message about the good news is called the gospel of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. As you turn your place and look over Romans chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Of all the things you could say about somebody with the credentials of the Apostle Paul, he said one thing about, under the inspiration of God right there, that should be said of every Christian, that we are separated unto the gospel of God. This gospel message comes from God. It is His message, and it is His good news that He's brought to us, and we are to be separated unto that message. I'm glad, thank God, for somebody that can stand up and preach against immorality and preach against how the sodomites are wicked and how the drunks are wicked and how they need to turn from their sin and need to repent of that thing. But thank God they got something to turn to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the shed blood. That's His payment for sins. And listen, we can all turn from whatever sin it was and turn to Him and be saved. I'm glad, thank God, it's the gospel of God and not the gospel of man. Because if it was the gospel of man, there'd be a few folks left out here and there. We'd find out people we don't like, and we'd say, you can't have none. You can't get none of my M&Ms, amen. You can't have none. But thank God, when He come with the gospel, He said that's the good news for this world, because it's the gospel of God. It's God who knew what everybody needed. It's God who knew everyone and said, you know what? I'm sending a gospel message to them. I'm sending the good news of myself to them. How a holy God and a just God who created hell for the devil and his angels. And when people reject His Son, He sends them there with Him. But He said, I've got the good news, and the good news is from Him. And that good news is that He's got His Son for us. If you look down in verse number 16 in this same chapter, it not only is the gospel of God, but in verse 16, He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Christ. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Now He's taken the message that's the gospel of God and centered it down and said, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ. I'm glad, thank God, there was a day when God saw our need and said, I'm sending my Son. I'm sending my best for your worst. I'm sending my number one for the worst thing in the world. I'm going to make a divine exchange. I'm going to pay for what I didn't owe, because you can't pay for what you do owe. And He let Christ come in the gospel of Christ. He said that message, not a message about being buddies, not a message about love, but the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, He said, is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, when I see somebody get up and say, God loves you, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. I hear them say that, and I found out that all these liberal churches that get up and preach on love of God, get along with each other, all this. Listen, I know why they do it. That crowd's mean as the devil, amen. I know why. They got to hear about love. They mean. But I know this much. When it comes time to dealing with wicked people that need to be saved, i.e. planet Earth,
It's not a love message that gets them. It's not a love action that gets them. It's a gospel message being preached to them that is the power of God unto salvation. And that same power that worked then is the same power that works now. And if you're saved at all, it wasn't because of somebody was lovey-dovey. It was because God sent the power of His Son in a message to you, and that message got a hold of you. I can't find where it says share the love, but I can find where it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I can find out where people go to hell because of unbelief in Jesus. But I find out if they got faith at all, it's because somebody preached the gospel of Christ to them. The Word of God quickened their never dying soul. They were born again by power and not a decision. Amen. Now I got some questions I want to ask you today about this gospel message. It'll help us out today. Number one question is this. How would God have His gospel preached to you? I've heard people say, well, I don't like preaching. I don't like preachers. Well, maybe they don't like you. That's always possible. I've heard people say, I don't like how you do things. I don't like how you say things. Well, thank God God called a bunch of us so you could find one that you would like. But that's not the problem. God's way hadn't changed. Listen, I've heard people say there ain't nobody gonna holler at me and browbeat me like you do. I ain't browbeat anybody. You know why? Most people don't listen anyway. You're not fooling me. I know better. I've watched people sit in church for 20 years now, and you preach on the same thing 20 years, and then sit like that. Or even worse, they'll do this number. We all blow up like a bullfrog. You ain't getting to me. I don't have to. But I do know what will. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's the foolishness of preaching that saved them. It takes somebody foolish enough to walk off an altar one day that's got saved and start living for the Lord and realize that through reading the Scriptures and living for Jesus and following through with what you know to do, that God's called that man to preach. It takes God using all kinds of people. But when He starts calling preachers, He gives them all the same message. That's the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. And they'll take that message and they'll preach it the best way they know how. And they'll go out there and they'll try to preach, and a lot of times they show up with about this much notes. You know, the first two or three times they show up, they got all them notes up there or something, pages everywhere of stuff, and 5 minutes later they're done. But they've done their best to preach the gospel. I found over the years that when I see men go out into the ministry like that, generally they walk off a secular job. And they leave behind benefits and all this other stuff and a salary, all to do what God said do. You say, that's foolish. You're getting the idea. And then they go somewhere and they go out, they go into the ministry full time, either as a pastor, evangelist, or missionary, and they go out there on the simple promise of God said He'd take care of them. And they go out there and they start preaching that gospel message. And they find out something. Somehow, in some way, God's able to take care of them and do it without reservation and usually without any help. And when they get out there, there's somebody sitting there that says, I don't like how you preach. I think you're too loud. I don't think you're loud enough. You holler at people. You spit on them. You know, all that's true. But I know this, I'd rather be spit on by a preacher than I would anybody at a bar that's sitting there cussing me out, amen. I'd rather be spit on by a preacher preaching a message that's trying to save my never dying soul than I would be sitting piled up somewhere in a crack house, listen, with the smell of death all around me. I'd rather hear it from the man of God, how that message of Christ can take me and save my never dying soul. He still can. And it's still the foolishness of preaching that gets the job done. It's the gospel from God Himself. It's the gospel of His Son. He brings that message. And again, the question is, how would God have His message preached to you? By any means necessary. I know that sometimes I've heard people say, well, I didn't get saved in church. That's fine. You heard the gospel somewhere. I know that some of you probably was sitting somewhere and you drove somewhere for a long distance. You're hunting a radio station. You went by and there was a preacher preaching. And you thought, nobody's hearing me. There's nobody in the car. Nobody will know it. And you stopped and listened for a little bit. I know that sometimes there's people that get on the internet and they'll run into some kind of preaching thing and they'll stop and they'll listen to it. They normally wouldn't go to church anywhere. They'd normally make fun of preachers. And they'd normally make fun of them with their friends. But then there was that one day you stopped and listened. You know what God did that day? He took an opportunity that where He had His message preached to you and planted a seed in your life, in your heart. And then the next thing you know, somebody died. You know what? There's an inevitable fact that all of us are going to die, but it's how our funerals go is what's going to happen with our outreach and the rest of with our testimony. I'm saddened when people don't have a funeral. I know funerals are sad, but I know what funerals are. Funerals are usually one opportunity to get somebody to hear this gospel message that don't normally hear it. And listen, the devil's gotten into so many people's heads that the first thing they do is get up, and instead of telling about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they tell about everything else. Take the time and opportunity, preachers, while you got a chance. Hey, while you got a chance and you got people sitting there that realize that death is real. And listen, take that time and preach the gospel to them. Preach to them how the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ still saves old sinners and how that message still works. Because, brother, it does. There's got to come a time in your life when you realize, hey, God may have let that happen and got all them people together so one person could hear it. There's been times I've seen people at funeral get saved and live gloriously for the Lord. Well, say, well, preacher, what about them that don't? I ain't worried about them. I'm worried about them that do. Yeah. And listen, when you reach out with the gospel to somebody and you have God's opportunity there that He's laid upon you, whether you got to get up and preach behind whatever, get up and preach and let her rip. There's been people I've seen at funerals that never would have been in church in their life to hear a message like that, and they hear the message and they turn around and get saved that day or in the future sometime. And you know what God does? He honors that book. He said, my word will go out and it'll accomplish that where I sent it to, and He still lets it accomplish that. How would God have His message preached to you? Any means necessary. You ever been to a wedding before? Some of you have attended them and you look sad already about it, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a thing that's on your left hand. It's a wedding ring. I've heard preachers get up and preach about that wedding ring, how that thing symbolizes the gospel of Jesus Christ. How when He goes and after a sinner and they get saved, they become the part of the bride of Christ. And how that ring symbolizes what the Savior does in saving a soul. Number one, it's pure gold, just like He's got a pure gospel for you that'll save you. It goes in a circle. It's never ending, which is the gospel message. When somebody gets saved, the salvation is never ending. Hey, listen, how would God have it preached to you? He'd get it to you by any means He has to. Whether it be by funeral, whether it be by wedding, whether it be by Mother's Day or Father's Day, whenever they can get you in here, or whether we got to have a piece of chicken to get you in the door, whatever it's going to take, we're going to get you here to try to get you under a gospel message so that you might be saved. Second question I want to ask you is this. Why should God let you hear this message twice when 96% of all human beings have never heard it once? This is a truth that bothers me from my toenails to the top of my head. We have people that live in the southern United States where 96% of all preachers are. And in that one little small area of the southern United States, if you had to walk across it, it seemed like a great deal of real estate. But only 4% of the population live right there in the world. And we take those 4% of the people and we send 96% of the preachers to them. And yet, the South is not saved. Yet there's liquor stores on every corner. Yet there's pornography in every convenience store. Yet there's lottery tickets sold everywhere. Yet there's houses of ill repute, beer joints, all this other garbage is out there. 96% of the preachers reaching 4% of the population, and we still can't get the job done. You know what the problem is? I think that we need to understand that God would have 100% of the preachers reach 100% of the world. Let me point this out to you. If we took that 96% of all Bible-believing preachers that's in 4%, reaching 4% of the population, and we still ain't reached all of them, wouldn't it be something if some of them would say, you know what, I know that there's 96% of the world hadn't heard this message, and rather than telling that fat, lazy church crowd that they need to hear it again and again and again and again and still won't do nothing with it, still get mad at somebody, still hold grudges, still look on the past and everything else, why don't we take that out to a crowd that's never heard it? And you know what happens? It's strange when this happens. But when a missionary goes out to some foreign country, he goes out there. He don't look around and find a steeple on every corner. He don't go out there and see all that. But he can find them temples out there with them idols in them and all that. And he'll go out there somewhere and get to preaching. You know what happens? Somebody shows up and gets saved. And he says, man, this ain't like this back home. And he'll get to preaching some more, and finally that guy say, hold on, let me go get my family. 3 hours later, he done walked all the way back with his family, and said, here they are, preach to them. And he'll sit there and let them have it. He'll preach to them. Tell them about a Savior that loves them and died for them and shed His precious blood for them, and what do? They get saved. And it's like, my goodness, what in the world am I doing here? This is unbelievable. I've never seen this happen. I've had more converts in one day than I had on 2 or 3 years of deputation. What happened? They've heard it once. There was no hope for them. Then the strangest thing happens. Some of these missionaries, we supported a missionary that went to Africa. He goes down there to that country down there, and he to that particular country on the continent of Africa, and he goes in there, and he finds a village out in the middle of nowhere where he said God told him to go to, and he gets out there, and they told him, they said, listen, the chief don't allow that stuff here, any other religion here other than ours. He said, let me talk to the chief. And he goes to talk to the chief. He said, chief, I want to set up a church here. He said, I'll just do it out in the open air, whatever I need to do. And the chief told him, I said, I tell you what, boy. He said, you swim out there and you get my boat where the rope's broken off and it's went on the other side of that thing over there. You swim out there and get that boat and I'll listen to you. So he took his coat and tie off and his shoes off and got in the water with his dress clothes on, swam right out there and got that boat. Thought this is the simplest thing I've ever seen in my life. Brought that boat back to shore, tied that thing off, and before he turned around and got to looking, all the whole tribe was out there and he's going, started, and he's like, what in the world's going on? Chief had tears in his eyes. He said, I know God sent you because there's a 15-foot crocodile in that river. He would have ate you alive had God not held his mouth shut. He said, I don't know who your God is, but I want to know who he is now. So what'd he do? Oh, just started the church and a Bible Institute and about 8 other churches out of that one where he trained them men. I'm telling you, God's got a way of doing this thing. Yeah. Half of you, listen, you heard the word crocodile and thought, I wouldn't have gotten that water. That's why God didn't send you. That's why you can't be trusted now with some things because you won't do what God said here. Why would God let us hear a message twice when people like that are dying and going to hell every day and never heard that message once? Why would God let us hear the same message week in and week out and never respond to it when there are people out there that would love to hear that there is hope left in this world somewhere? And I'm not talking about Sally Struthers getting fat on your pennies today. I'm talking about a real hope. A hope that'll last past the grave. A hope that'll work when nothing else works. A hope that'll work when the world will be on fire. And that hope has a name, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Why would God let us do that? Would to God the next man that walks down the aisle of this church said he's called a preacher go out to some people that's never heard the gospel? Would to God we'd have that here. Would to God we'd have somebody say, you know what? I heard them Chinese, I don't know how they speak all that language. It looks complicated on writing and it sounds even more complicated verbally. But would to God He'd send somebody there to them people that they might get saved. Would to God that somebody say, you know what? I don't like cold weather, but I'm willing to throw on a jacket and go over to Russia over there and go reach a bunch of people I don't understand with the gospel of Jesus Christ that they might be saved because they've not heard this message. I'd love to see somebody come along and say, what? You, I don't like how them terrorists are doing. I don't like how they train them people, train their kids to explode things and do all that. But I'm going to take the gospel message to them so they'll stop that stuff. They'll get saved and realize that's not the way to get to heaven, and tell them the way to get to heaven. They may have never heard of your way. Chances are they hadn't. Would to God somebody say, you know what, I've heard there's a 28-foot snake down there in that South America down there, in them jungles down there. But would to God somebody say, I know if God can hold a lion's mouth shut, He can keep a snake from crawling up on me and take a gospel message out there. And instead of talking about the rainforest, they'd talk about the maker of the rain and go down there and reach that crowd for God while they got a chance and while they got breath in their lungs. One of the saddest things I ever realized in my life is we get to the great white throne judgment. We'll be there as saved people. God's bringing up all the lost there. Do you know that most of them people have never even heard of Him by the time they get there? Whose fault is that? Ours. Third question I'd like to ask you today is this. Where could you respond to the gospel at? Where could you? I've heard people all my life say, well, and this is good testimonies of good people that's gotten saved, they'll say something along these lines. Well, I was holding that pew, and I held it every week while the invitations were going. And I was just holding that thing. My knuckles was white, and finally I let go and let God. That's nice. But you know what I found out in the last 15 years of watching people? The majority of people I've led to the Lord personally was not at a church altar. I'd give invitation. I'd do just like they always said do. Invite sinners to come to the Lord. And I'd invite them, and they wouldn't come. I'd talk to them later, and I'd say, you need to be saved. Yeah, I need to be saved. Where can they respond? Anywhere where God deals with them. I found out, there was a fellow told me one time, he said, now, where'd you get saved at? And I told him, he laughed, and I said it, but it was true. I got saved at Ronald McDonald House in Greenville, South Carolina. You know why? I was too hard-headed to get saved in church like some people are. I know. I understand how you're hard. I was. But I know this, where can you respond? Wherever God deals with you. The timing is everything. It's when God deals with you. Jesus said this, He said He'd draw all men unto Him. It's when He's drawing that matters more than anything else. The strangest stories I've read about people getting saved, there's guys who have picked up gospel tracts that somebody either dropped or left somewhere else and the wind took it, and they walked up on a gospel tract, picked that thing up, read that thing, and got saved. So listen, if we had to put out 1,000,000 pieces of literature for one person getting saved, the money was well spent. Because listen, you cannot put a price on a soul. Where could somebody respond to the Lord? Well, I've seen people come up that was involved in all kind of wickedness and walk up to a paper display to get today's paper right here. Here's the big headlines. Nothing's changed from this time last year except we've got more sinful. Yeah. They don't say that, but that's what the headline is. And somebody's left a gospel tract there, and they pick up that gospel tract and say, what is this? And they'll start reading that thing and say, and realize that they need to get saved, and they'll get saved right there at a paper stand. Where can somebody get saved? Where can they respond to the gospel? There's been countless people who have heard preaching messages and hung around church after service because they didn't understand that whole walk down the aisle invitation thing. We are not living in the Beaver Cleaver generation, we are living in the Bart Simpson generation. They do not know anymore because most people have no idea about what a church invitation is. We take that stuff for granted. We think they'll know, but they don't know. Had somebody not long ago come up and say, you know what? I heard that thing about being saved. I need to be saved. And I'm thinking, but I gave the invitation. We're done now. Why didn't you come then? And I've even asked people, why didn't you come here? Well, I didn't know what you were talking about coming down front. We take that for granted. We've raised a generation who has not even been in church enough to realize what walking down the aisle and being under conviction are about. They don't know what it is. You know what probably would help? If we'd go out and try to win people to Christ to get them in church, and during the invitation, we just reach over and ask them, do you need to go down front and get saved? Or do you need to get saved right here where we're at? You'd be surprised at the people right now that would love to get saved that can't because nobody will tell them, and they think they got to come to church to get it. Some of them do. Some people won't get saved because they think, I've got to go to church to get it. And then they don't feel like they can come to church because they're such a filthy person because they realize they're a sinner. And they realize they need to be saved. But I want to get right before I come. You won't do it. Listen, hey, don't wait till you get right. Get saved right where you at. Listen, another question I want to ask you is this one. This is the most important one. When can you get saved? When will you respond to the Lord? If 96% of the preachers are talking to 4% of the population of the world right now, when can you respond to that? You going to put it off again? A lot of folks say, you know what, I'm going to put that thing off because, you know, I got some sin I'm planning on doing. I'm going to wait because I'm currently involved in some sinful conduct and I want to finish that and have my fun and all this other stuff. When are you going to respond? Do you know, we were talking last night, me and somebody was talking, we were talking about this. We were talking about all the people that at my age, looking back on just at my age, that I grew up with that are no longer with us. Can you imagine looking back at your age right now and you look back at the people that's no longer in your family? Some of them were old. They got, look, there's probably some. I had uncles and aunts that lived up there 90 and almost 100 years old, and great uncles and aunts. And them people was made out of something. They worked, they farmed, they ate everything they wasn't supposed to and all that, and yet they lived almost 100 years. But then there's these folks that didn't make 20. Where are they at? I don't know. You tell me. They died and went somewhere. And when they died, you were there at the funeral. Or did you go to the receiving of friends and skip out because you didn't want to hear that preacher holler at you and you knew it was real at that point? When can you respond? A lot of folks are asking themselves, they say, well, you know, if I had the opportunity, I would you? Really, would you? Well, I know God's dealing with me now. I'm going to wait until I can get somewhere. No, why not do it now? You know, this Bible says now is the day of thy salvation. When God deals with a sinner, that's the time to get in. Whether you're at home sitting at a computer on a cell phone, whether you're in this church, or whether you're watching this recording years from now, when God deals with you, that is the time to be saved, no matter who else He is or is not dealing with. You know, I think back about all the people I've seen that's come through this church that got saved. And I think about people in particular sitting here. And I'm thinking about back to revival meetings where we'd be in another church and an evangelist would give a call out and somebody would say, you know what, I'm tired. I'm getting saved right now. I think about others that's made professions of faith and claimed that they were saved. But yet God saw through it and still chose to stretch His arm out still and begin to deal with you, and you got saved. You remember that day? When will you respond? So, preacher, you don't understand. I'm young. You'll be old if you're lucky. So I didn't think you'd believe. I'm talking on your terms now. See, there's this thing about growing old. Not everybody gets to do it. I'd rather die young and saved than to die old and lost. Let me ask you something. Is it worth going to hell over whatever it is you're clinging to right now that you won't let go? Can I tell you something? When is the time to get saved? When is the time to respond to the Lord? Whenever He calls. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. We're talking about a message. The message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. Heavenly Father, we